With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Bree Ripley. Hundreds of people packed an auditorium in Helena today to protest plan cuts to Medicaid.
This 3.47% reduction is devastating.
William Buck owns Shepherd's Way Assisted Living Facility in Lewistown. The 3.47% cut he's talking about is the amount the state health department says it has to cut payments to all healthcare providers who take Medicaid patients. This after state lawmakers reduced the health department's budget earlier this year, followed by a revenue shortfall that will trigger further budget cuts starting next month.
It's devastating because we are not going to be able to afford to take any more Medicaid residents in.
Many who testified said that cutting pay for assisted living and home health agencies will result in more people going to emergency rooms and hospitals, which will wipe out any Medicaid savings. The Gallatin and Lewis and Clark County Sheriff's Offices testified that cuts to Medicaid mental health providers will result in more people going to jail instead of getting care. An interim legislative committee is objecting to the cuts, which could delay their implementation. The health department is taking comments on the proposed cuts until August 4th. Montana environmental regulators say a Canadian company can move forward with plans to explore for gold in an area north of Yellowstone National Park, despite local opposition. Yesterday, the Montana Department of Environmental Quality released a months-long evaluation of Lucky Minerals' exploration proposal. State officials said the company had agreed to extensive water quality and wildlife monitoring plans. Local residents are concerned mining could harm the local tourism industry and pollute the nearby Yellowstone River. Legislation proposed by Montana U.S. Senator John Tester would bar future mining claims on 30,000 acres of public lands outside Yellowstone. Lucky Minerals' proposal is on private land, but officials say it might not be economically viable without mining on adjacent public lands. Republican Senator Steve Daines says he opposes mining in some areas outside Yellowstone National Park, but stops short of endorsing proposed legislation on the matter from his fellow Montana lawmaker. Daines appeared to speak favorably of Tester's bill to block Yellowstone area mining during a hearing before a Senate committee, but a spokeswoman said afterward, the Republican is still weighing the best way to achieve the withdrawal of lands outside the park from future mining. A lawsuit contesting new rules for hydraulic fracturing on federal land will get its day in court, even though President Donald Trump's administration doesn't intend to implement them. Arguments are taking place before the 10th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals in Denver today. The rules would regulate fracking, the process of cracking open underground oil and gas deposits with pressurized water, sand, and chemicals. Environmentalists say the rules would protect land and water. Two industry groups, an American Indian tribe in the states of Colorado, North Dakota, Utah, and Wyoming, say the rules developed under President Barack Obama duplicate state regulations and would cost jobs. Government attorneys say the rule doesn't reflect Trump administration priorities, but they want the case argued anyway while the administration writes new rules.
With Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Nate Hedgie. The Lodgepole complex of fires has burned more than 250,000 acres of rangeland in eastern Montana. Hundreds of firefighters came from 34 states to battle the blaze, and while it's now almost fully contained, ranchers who live here are left with a landscape of scorched grass and scattered cattle.
It was definitely devastating. I mean, as far as spreading fire, it was the damnedest thing you've ever seen.
That's rancher Tim Browning. He's leaning up against his pickup truck in a field full of alfalfa near Winnet. It's lush and green, but everything around him is black and charred. He says his cattle are scattered across the range. Some are probably dead, and tonight he and his family will ride out to find them, through black smoke and past dead cottonwood trees that exploded as the fire swept through. His wife, Sarah Browning, is standing next to him. She remembers the fire racing towards their house.
And it just covered us, and it was daylight out, and it just turned black. You couldn't see right in front of you. And when it started lifting in a matter of just 2 minutes, the whole valley was on fire.
More than 100 people lost grazing land in the Lodgepole complex of fires as it scorched an area the size of New York City. And when a wildfire gets this big, various state and federal agencies are called up to fight it. They're known as incident management teams. They're organized like military units, and they attack a fire like they're going to war. But it took them 3 days to get to the Lodgepole complex of fires, and when they did, they proceeded cautiously. And that frustrated some ranchers like Matt Bliss, who lost most of his rangeland near Sand Springs to the blaze.
Firefighters need to just go. I mean, it is so ridiculous that you have to have so many people involved in the process to get the firefighter crews up to the fire to fight it. It is just, it's sad that we lost so many acres of prime, you know.
And at that moment, he catches his breath, his eyes water a little, and he looks off at the low black haze stretching across the horizon. These ranchers are also running on very little sleep. They're tired, frustrated, and heartbroken. They've been fighting this fire for more than a week.
We came home. We've got about 2 hours of sleep every night.
That's Jody Pearson, a rancher from Jordan and volunteer firefighter. She's sitting at her dining room table while her husband, who also helped fight the fires, is outside working his way through a packet of Marlboro Reds. Pearson understands her neighbor's frustration.
But I think part of the deal is they have rules they have to follow, and we, as ranchers and landowners, we don't have a protocol. We're just trying to protect our livelihoods, so we have a lot more at stake than they do.
Rick Connell, the incident commander, says he feels for ranchers who lost their land, and he understands folks get frustrated when resources don't show up as soon as a fire explodes.
But, you know, we also are in Montana where it's a long drive to get a lot of stuff, and if you're going out of state, it's even farther. It's 2 or 3 days before stuff gets here.
Montana has more wildfires burning in it right now than any other state. Both firefighters and resources are stretched thin. But when Connell and his team showed up, they hit the fire hard. Mark C. credits them with saving his ranch near the Musselshell River.
So we were fighting it ourselves, and all of a sudden, I say 100 people, 20 trucks, they came in, and they kept the fire from wiping out this ranch.
Only in America you see stuff like this happen.
That's rancher Tim Browning.
Big bombers coming in and putting fire out, and crews from all over the nation and the world or wherever they all came from. Say only in America, that's all you can say.
The number of cattle lost to this fire is still unknown, but ranchers say they are receiving hay donations from friends and neighbors, as well as coolers full of bottled water and Gatorade. And after initially denying Montana's request for disaster funding, FEMA now says it will reimburse up to 75% of the state's expenses for the Lodgepole Complex of Fires, which is now more than 60% contained. There are 19 other wildfires burning in western Montana. For Yellowstone Public Radio News, I'm Nate Hedgie in Sand Springs, Montana.